good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 12, 2014. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 76, the third paragraph, which begins, "Now we need more action." Today's readers are Santa on the 12 Steps, Cheryl R. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Katie F., Lauren S., and Jill T. The reference number for yesterday, June 11th, Wednesday, is 6452. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Santa to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. My name is Santa H. from New Jersey, a newly recovered compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa. And Cheryl R., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, thank you. This is Cheryl R. from Virginia, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 76, the third paragraph, which begins, "Now we need more action." I will ask Katie F. to begin reading.
This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. Now we need more action, without which we find that, quote, faith without works is dead, end quote. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our efforts to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any length for victory over alcohol. And, you know, this is the nuts and bolts of finishing up his process of steps 4 through 9. That having done our fifth step, having looked at our character defects, we should have a list of people that we have, that we need to make amends to. And, you know, sometimes people will have, 200 names on there, and then when they pare it down, they realize that, they hadn't done any actual harm, or to do so would injure them or others. You know, so many of the amends that I needed to make or the people that, you know, I have had to pray for over the years because of resentment, they really had no idea that I felt this way towards them. And in
I were to make amends to them by saying, I used to think you were a total jerk, but I prayed about it and realized you're just another, you know, member of society and I can accept you now, you know, that's not what we do. We don't tell people, you know, I talked about you and, you know, but now I'm not going to do that anymore. I mean, there's just a lot of direction that you need before taking these steps 8 and 9. It's very important not to create more havoc by doing this unguided. And, you know, we also don't do it to boost up our own ego by, you know, wanting someone to know, you know, I'm so great now. I've gotten abstinent and I'm changing my life. And, you know, so because of that, I need to make this amends for that time when you and I got in that big fight. And, you know, it requires a lot of direction, but it also can't be, you know, it says in here, we attempt to sweep away the debris, which is accumulated, but we can't sweep away the debris and sweep it under a rug and hope it just disappears. We have to take action. That's what this chapter is called, Into Action, that we have to finish. And that's what recovery has done for me, is that I don't do half measures today. If action needs to be taken, I take the action with the direction of my sponsor and my higher power. Because as this last sentence says, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. You know, we can't stop halfway through. You know, the promise, if you take half measures, is that you'll get nothing. And so it's the same way with these amends. You know, we have to look at it squarely and take ownership of our part. We can't blame the other person. We can't tell them what they did wrong. You know, there's a lot of guidance that has to come, as I've said. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, KDF. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Santa. May I share?
Sure. Go ahead, Santa.
Thank you. I've shared a handful of times during the second hour, and this is probably my second time sharing live, so I'm quite nervous. But I first want to say welcome to the newcomers, and secondly, I want to say thank you for the love and support I've received since I've been sharing on a line. My name is Asanta, a newly recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm so humble and greatly appreciative for the love and support that I've received from sharing, and I can't thank you all enough for that. My share today is directed towards the newcomers, which sits so heavily on my heart to share this morning, and let my previous fellow travelers share a little bit. If you reach step 9, congratulations, but if you're not there yet, please listen to what I have to say. I think you will find this very helpful. 4 points that I want to do my very best to stay within the time frame to share. And number 1 is to make sure that you have a step guide. And this is what I'm gathering from calls and emails that I've been getting. Make sure that you have a step guide during this process. Doing this on your own, and which I did when I first came in here a year ago, June 1st, I came into the rooms and came into a vision for you. I found that I was a know-it-all. I was so messed up and didn't even know it. And I thought that was the easier, softer way, was to do it on my own, and it's not. God knew exactly what he was doing when he sent me my guide into my life, and I hated her. And that is in a good way I say that, of course. She would tell me constantly, because I'm a know-it-all, she would say, shut up and just do the work. And I would get offended by that. But I have found today that that was the most profound suggestion she has said to me. And that, to me, is what I find myself wanting to say to other people. You know, just shut up and do the work. And number 2, for those who are looking for a sponsor step guide, Ask your higher power for the willingness to become a student. And then the teacher, the step guide, that your higher power sees fit for you to have will magically appear. That has been my experience. When I was willing to be a student and stop trying to do this thing all by myself, that was when my step guide that God saw fit for me to have appeared in my life. And number three, and for those who have a step guide, lean into the steps that you are at. Don't go ahead of your step guide. That's ego. Ego wants to impress others and let people know what you think you know. Be humble is the key. Be honest with your step guide. And number four, and this is it's my humble opinion and my humble experiences, that step one is the most important step of all the 12 steps. It's the foundation. When you know that you know that you know that you're powerless, the rest of the step work becomes easier and freer. Without a foundation, step one, your program will crash anyway. It's not my experiences, thank you, God, but the book experiences and others who share with me that you got to have a strong foundation. Make sure you have a strong foundation, and that is step one. And that's my humble opinion. And in summary, number one, have a step guide. Number two, be a student and allow your guide to guide you. Number three, do away with ego. And number four, remember always, you are powerless. My name is Santa. I'm a grateful, newly recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I thank you for listening and allowing me to share at this time. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Santa. Who else would like to share?
Larry.
Katie G. from Boston.
Okay, I heard Larry and then Katie G. Go ahead, Larry.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service, Larry, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. So what we're reading about, you know, the principle behind step eight is self-discipline. And, you know, in step eight, you know, there was a couple of instructions in regards to the fact that we made a list. You know, A, we made a list, and B, we became willing to make amends to them all. You know, and again, we already have our four-step inventory. We made a list of people we harmed. You know, so coming back to that, I mean, the first paragraph goes on to state, faith without works is dead. And, you know, one of the key things for me is to recognize that my faith is not based on what I think and feel. No, the quality of my faith is inextricably linked, connected to what I do. So if you just heard me say that, you know, what you think and what you feel isn't important, then I either misspoke or you misheard me. Of course, what you think and feel, what I think and feel is important, very important. You know, I'm not saying otherwise. However, they're not going to be the foundation of my recovery. The quality of my faith is always demonstrated on what I'm willing to do. You know, follow me around. Watch, you know, watch what I do. See if there's some congruence in what I do, you know, versus my words. You know, and that was a demonstration of my faith. And so I can remember sitting down with step eight with my sponsor. And, you know, my sponsor saying, you know, okay, you have this list of all people you harmed. Great. So, are you willing to make amends to them all? And in truth, I thought about it. No, not really. Again, I wasn't ready to make amends to them all, only perhaps most of them. You know, there was a couple of people I wasn't ready to make amends to my mother. Then, you know, I may be on this eighth plateau for a while, if I'm not. This is what the text says. You know, we have to be entirely ready to make amends. And, I mean, that one person who I had, you know, real trepidation about making amends to, well, I didn't have to know yet what the nature of those amends were. You know, what were they going to be? Nor did I have to make amends to that person first. I had to, you know, prioritize. I just had to be willing. You know, I may need to take a day or two to pray and meditate on my willingness to be willing. So, you know, step eight, as we read here, you know, some of the people we resented, for example, you know, we also hurt. But not everybody that I resented did I hurt. And if there's something that I forgot or later, you know, recall, I can always add them to this eighth step list. You know, this eighth step should not take very long. So I'm grateful that the text is my, you know, that's my manual for action. You know, that is what I use. And all the other kind of, you know, hanging around and sitting and analyzing in step eight is not going to do me any good. My faith is demonstrated on the works that I do. Grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Larry. Katie G.
Hanayeta, may I speak after Katie Hanayeta?
Yes. Okay, Katie G, go ahead, and then Hanayeta.
Hey, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. Katie G, recovered for today. I'm grateful to be on step eight and nine, and we're into action, as a previous speaker has mentioned, and you know, for me, I had my list, right? I had my list of amends, and amends are different, right? Like, before I did the work, I was Katie the I'm sorry girl. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I read people's minds. My behavior was contingent on what I thought they were thinking. And so I went around saying I'm sorry. Why? Because I wanted them to do and say what I wanted them to do and say, right? So, like, if I say I'm sorry, then maybe I can control them, and maybe you'll give me what I want, and it's all about me, right? So thank God we're now in the later steps. We've done steps 1 through 7. We're on steps 8 and 9. And like people have said, we've got our list, and we are making amends. And what is an amend? It's a change in behavior. And so my sponsor and I took a very close look at each and every name on my list. And I had, at that time, I had, I think, like 140 amends, which is not like showing off or saying I'm better or worse than, I'm just saying how many amends I had, how much damage I did. And to be candid, a lot of those names were sponsors, sponsees, and fellowship, and family, because that's where the disease brought me. Where I went, I did a lot of damage. And so what she had me do is clearly identify what is the harm. And, you know, I made formal appointments with each of the people that I made amends to. And I said, instead of saying I'm sorry, I said things like, I was wrong. I can imagine if I were you and I treated you this way, I would be mortified. You know, the women that I was their boss, you know, I said I was demeaning. I was condescending. When I used those words, I can imagine you might have felt belittled. And I was, you know, as specific as was appropriate. Like, I didn't go into morbid reflection of, remember that time on Thursday when I told you, because I don't want to do more harm. And I got very specific instructions from my sponsor and from God. And I wrote out specifically what I wanted to say. I also said things like to my family, I wasn't the kind of daughter I could have been. Irregardless of her behavior, irregardless of mom's behavior, right? Irregardless of dad's behavior, I was not a good daughter. You know, and I paid off a lot of financial amends and whatnot, but I guess what I really wanted to share in a quick second is just that this was really a process for me, and it was one I could not control. So I became willing to make amends, but it took 4 years to make a formal amend to my mom, and I could not control that. But the important thing that my sponsor, I can't control anything, but the important thing that my sponsor kept telling me is, all I need to do is be willing. And what's phenomenal is that people would just like pop into my life. In fact, yesterday a woman has been practicing yoga right next to me, and I owe her an amend. And God put that on my heart. And I am willing. I have to make amends to this woman. Not because I want to feel good about myself, because if I don't, then eating is going to be a step up from how I feel about myself. Because I am not going to be repairing the damage. And that is what this is about. It's about restoring people's reality. That Katie was a monster. Yeah, I was a tornado in that office. Yeah, I had no idea I was treating you so unkindly. I was wrong. I regret my behavior. And what is the amend I do today? Practice patience, kindliness, tolerance, and love to all. Right? So what an amazing step. Keep moving forward if you're on this step. If you're new, remember there are 7 steps before we get to this. So don't worry about it. It's a privilege to be here. I've spent sober this morning with that. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie G. And Comietta, go ahead.
Okay, hi. This is Hanayeta, and I am recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and grateful for that. You know, a lot of people will say that they get a lot. First of all, I want to say ditto to everything that everybody has said before me. Thank you, thank you. It's been wonderful to listen. After my fifth step, I did not feel any relief. For some reason, it just didn't. I don't know. It didn't do that much for me. But when I got to step 7 and 8, I had, you know, I finally said, I humbly asked. I didn't know what humbly meant. You know, I didn't even know what that was. And then I humbly asked him to remove my shortcomings. And I didn't know what that really meant. So then I made a list. I had a list, and my list was very, very long as well, because I thought I was the most awful, terrible person, and everybody I talked to or everybody that was in my life, I hurt. So my list was quite long. And then we were on step 9, and I was on step 9. And I had... walked out of a restaurant not too long before I was doing this, and I didn't pay. I just walked out and didn't pay. This was in 1980 something. So, but I walked out and I told, you know, that was one of the people, one of the things on my list. So my sponsor says, okay, so let's go make amends. And I said, okay. So that will be the first one I do. And she goes, no, I mean right now. And it was about a 45-minute ride to where this restaurant was. She said, we're going to go now. And I said, now? It's 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock, whatever it was. And she goes, yeah, we're going to go right now. And when I got there, they were just closing the door. And I said, please let me in. I need to talk to the manager. She goes, well, what about? And I said, well, I didn't pay my bill and I need to pay it. And so she went back in and she came out and she says, you can come in. And I went in and I said, I'm really sorry. I left the other day, whenever it was. And I said, and I didn't pay my bill. And I have the money and I want to give you the money back to pay my bill. And she just went on and on about, you know, how she's never had anybody do that and how wonderful I was. And I said, well, I don't feel like I'm so wonderful. I'm just making right a wrong. And I gave her the money. And I walked back in, and I got back into the car, and my sponsor was in the car. And she says, you must feel really great. I said, no, I really don't feel great. And I stopped for a moment, and I took a deep breath, and I said, I feel strange. I don't think I've ever felt like this before. And I was describing how I felt, that I felt kind of warm. I felt kind of different. And she looked at me and she said, I think what you're feeling is humility. And I went, wow, this is humility? I said, I kind of like this. And that was when I had my wow, not after step 5, but after step, doing just the first amend in step 9. So again, it's a process. You know, we do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then, and 8 is just making a list. Nobody says you have to make amends. It just says to make a list. Make a list. 8 and 9, we have a list of persons we have harmed to whom we are willing to make amends. Okay? We've made amends. We took inventory. When we took inventory, we have this list. It tells us.
A couple of people. Yes. Way past 3 minutes. Can you wrap up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I had looked. Yes, and that's it. So just keep coming back. Just keep coming back, and it does work if you work it. Thanks a lot for letting me share, and I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Thank you, Hanayeta. It's a good opportunity to remind everybody to keep track of time so everybody who wants to can share. Is there anyone else who would like to share on this paragraph?
Rabia.
Go ahead, Rabia.
Leah.
And Leah.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rabia. I'm a newly recovered compulsive overeater, and this is probably one of the most important paragraphs for me as far as my own transformation is going, because I get to fire myself in this paragraph. And believe me, that was an easy conversation to have with myself the moment I did it. However, every day I need to remind myself that I am no longer running the show. And believe me, God gives me a lot of opportunities to realize that every day. So, you know, in context, this is the evening I did my fifth step with my sponsor. I came home, I took the hour, and I thank God from the bottom of my heart that I knew it better. And then in step six, I prayed to God to help me continue to be willing. And then I took the seventh step prayer with my sponsor from the bottom of my heart on the phone. And then the first word of this paragraph, now, more action. Once again, the big book is moving me forward, no resting on my laurels. You know, now it's time to look at the eighth step and take a drastic self-appraisal and remember the last sentence of this, that I agreed at the beginning that I would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Well, that's the third step, and I made a decision to stop making decisions by myself. So I didn't realize it then, but in this step I realized now I have to fire myself, because a life lived on self-will, to our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. Well, I'm no longer running the show. And this is just amazing to me. Like, I have all over this thought. I am fired. It's just amazing to me that I can realize this today. You know, I don't want to be running the show. I don't. I tend to go back to running the show, and like I say, you know, God's giving me a lot of opportunities to see that I've made an agreement to stop running the show, and now turn it over to God. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Rabia. And Leah, please go ahead.
Thanks so much, Kathy, for your service. It says here, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And, of course, those last words are written in italics, which means it's quite important, very important. You know, much like other freedoms, freedom isn't free. You know, although this step, you know, makes us shake in our boots, perhaps, you know, again, the question is, you know, how free do I want to be? I have no alternative. You know, there is only door number one, which was to continue to eat myself into further madness and mayhem and eventual death, or door number two, which was to pursue a spiritual path. And thank God I don't have to create that path. It's been written out with clear-cut directions. And, you know, the steps, the way I look at the steps is that, you know, it allows me to repair three major relationships. One is a relationship with God, and steps one, two, and three handle that. The next is a relationship with myself, and steps four through seven deal with that. And then, of course, correctly placed, you know, after my relationship with God is harmonized and after my relationship with myself has been you know, allowed through the examination of my thinking and my behavior, now I'm ready in steps 8 and 9 to leave the house, so to speak, and begin to repair those relationships. I mean, I know I had food stains all over my relationships. My disease had really diminished and deteriorated these relationships, and freedom was not going to be free, and rebellion was going to be fatal for someone like me, and delay was going to be dangerous also. So I was pressed into it. These italics really stood out to me. You know, step 9 was going to have me go to those who I had harmed, acknowledge the harm specifically, take responsibility for my part, and not discuss their contribution to the event whatsoever, and clean up and repair this damage the best I could. Why was that going to be necessary? Well, it was going to be necessary because we cannot live, you know, freely on Thursday, you know, June 12th, and drag the actions of the 80s with us. It's hard to be happy, joyous, and free when walking down the street and you hope you don't bump into an ex-boyfriend, a former boss, the bank teller and the IRS agent. You know, so this wreckage of the past that existed in my head and had harmed other people was a threat to my serenity. And it disturbed me one day at a time as I was trying to live one day at a time. So, of course, step 8 and 9 had to be dealt with. And thank God we don't do it alone. We always have our higher power to give us that strength and the wind beneath our wings. And, you know, we don't delay it out of fear, because if we delay this growth, we will experience stagnation in our progress. And for someone like me, anyway, that was deadly. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Leah. Is there anyone else who would like to share on this paragraph before we move on? Okay, Lauren S., would you read the next paragraph, please?
I would. Hi, Lauren S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Probably there are some still misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. Oh, okay. The amends for me is step 8 and 9. And it comes at the perfect moment, and it's when I'm finally able to get into the wheelbarrow. You know, I've been saying all along, okay, God, I'm going to make a decision. And I decide to carry it through with step 4, where I'm really just venting and digging up a truth. And step 4 for me was laid out in a very organized pattern, to really see what my disease, the real nature of my defects of character. And in my step 5, my sponsor guided me, pulling out that evil and corroding thread, really making sure that it was a real resentment and not just me trying to write a bunch of inventory to write a lot. you know, to kind of muddle the process. And then in 6 and 7, I was able to really get on my knees and say, I find this objectionable, God. This, I can't live my life running the show, because not only will I eventually relapse, as the big book teaches me, but I am a tornado, and I saw that clearly. I was a tornado. It wasn't about the weight and the food. I was harming, you know, Hillary from when I was 13 and my mom from when I was 21 and my teacher from when I was 22, all because they have the same target statement of they attacked my, you know, feeling of being included. And then when I go to 8 and 9, I'm a real compulsive overeater. I need to make amends. If I'm just a hard eater, or if I'm just in the program for weight, or if I can just go to meetings and I don't need a spiritual solution, I'm not going to make amends, because it's a solution with depth and weight. And for me, I made all of my amends face-to-face, unless I made two that were on Skype because the person wanted to do that. And I did three that were letters because those people could not be seen. And in all three occurrences, you know, oh my gosh, guys, I was building faith. I was living a spiritual path that was new to me. And I had 2 recovered step guides. I had the Vision for You community as well. And those 9-step promises were, oh my gosh.
Fine.
Oh, thank you so much. With that, I will pass.
I actually thought you had about 10 seconds, but that's okay. Thank you.
This is Bella. Can I share?
Thank you, Lauren F. And Bella, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning. My name is Bella, and I'm a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody that is on the line. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be maximum service to God. Yes, this is the purpose of the program. This is the purpose of the steps. This is the purpose of my step forward. This is the purpose of doing the amends. I am here to be in service the maximum that I can to pass over the message that God has, and not my message. And it reminds me like a delivery guy when he goes to deliver the thing that this is his job. He has to deliver the product, the whatever he has to. And sometimes it's not so comfortable. Sometimes he has to go out from his comfort zone, from the store, from the restaurant, from whatever he is, to go out and to deliver it. Sometimes the weather it's not so comfortable. Sometimes the house, it's not in a comfortable place, but this is his job, and this is my job. My job is to give over the message that God wants me to deliver. And sometimes I have to go out from my comfort zone, but I am not going with my strength. I am not going with my power anymore. I am going with the power of God. I am going with the strength that comes straight from God. I am not alone. Yes, maybe it's not comfortable. Yes, it is. Maybe, you know, it's not an easy job. Maybe sometimes the amends that I have to do, they are not so easy. And yes, it is, but I am not alone anymore. I am not alone anymore, and I am under the arms of secure and love. And yes, I am willing, and I want, and I need to bring God with me to do those amends, because this is the real purpose, to be in maximum service of God. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. Who else would like to share?
This is Amy. Kim.
Okay, I heard Amy and then Kim. Go ahead, Amy.
Good morning. My name is Amy. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Grateful to be here. Thank you for your service and thank you for everyone who has shared. I think what stands out for me today, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. Well, clearly here, as we've been discussing in these paragraphs, into action, there is way more to this disease than meets the mouth, if you will. You know, we're looking at how we addressed, how we have related to others in the past, and we're clearing up the wreckage of the past. And for those that are closest around us, if they've seen us working through the steps, they're beginning to see in our behavior and in our actions a change. And so that when we come to them making our amends, because at some point we do not only change our behavior, we need to stand humbly in front of the people that we have harmed based on this list that we've gone through with the sponsor and decided who we do need to make these amends to. We do need to humbly stand before them and ask for forgiveness for our behavior and having hurt them. And I might add, regardless of how they have hurt us and regardless of what they have done, my sponsor always said to me, when I go to make my amends, it comes from an I statement. I never use the word you any at all. It is about me, and it is about my amends and my apology. And at some point, we need to stand before them, and we need to do the actual amends. It says in the big book here, a little further ahead, a spiritual life is a theory. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And that's what this program and these two specific steps are about, is where we live this theory. I make amends to people. I have no idea what their reaction is going to be. I better be trusting my higher power, because what I am doing is I am making amends. They may take it well. They may not. It is scary. Talk about misgivings that it said earlier in the paragraph. There were misgivings when I made some of those amends, but I had to trust God. I had to live that spiritual theory by taking action. Notice the saying, pray to God, row to shore. I had to do the action steps and do what the footwork was and let God take care of the rest as far as what their reactions were going to be. And let us not forget that we're coming up on page 83 where it says, the promises, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom, a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. The promises go on for another paragraph. And it says we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. I can honestly tell you through this process of step 8 and 9, my spiritual life came alive because I realized truly that God was working in my life and in the lives of those that I made amends to just by making those amends. It was an incredible experience. It's one we must not miss. That burden of the past, that wreckage of the past, absolutely had to be cleaned up. And then I didn't regret it nor wish to shut the door on it. It was just a part of who I am, who I was. But I don't need to regret it anymore. I have this program, and I had a new freedom by working these two steps. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy. Kim, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. And I'm actually going to pick out those two same sentences that Amy just did. But our man was sure to be impressed with his sincere desire to set right the wrongs. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than our talk of spiritual discoveries. You know, there's a saying I love that says, you know, your actions are so loud, I cannot hear a word that you're saying. And I know for me, when I tried to work the steps off the wall, I thought step 9 was simply an apology, to apologize to somebody. And I caused a lot more damage doing a 9 step like that than I did even the original, you know, what I originally did to them. So I pulled out of the dictionary, what's the difference between an apology and an amend? So to apologize means to offer an apology or excuse for some fault, failure, or injury. And that's what I was doing. I was offering an excuse when I was working the steps simply off the wall. So this is how my apology went before I worked the steps and really did the work that was necessary up to step 9. You know, hi, I want you to know that I know you're a jerk, and now that I'm in LA and I'm holy, I accept that you're a jerk, and I'm going to forgive you for being a jerk. That was my amends, because I never looked for where I was selfish, where I was dishonest, where I was self-seeking, or where I was frightened. So if I'm making an amends, let's look what an amends means in the dictionary. An amends, as a noun, means reparation or compensation for loss, damage, or injury. I need to right the wrong, as it's saying here. I need to make right the wrong. And what does amends mean as a verb? To change for the better, improve and change one's behavior, to remove or correct faults, to rectify. So that means when I make an amends now, that means I am promising I'm going to change that behavior. When I was apologizing, I would apologize and go right back to that same behavior. No changes. So when I make an amends, I am admitting I was wrong, and this is how I'm going to make it right, and I will continue to be consistent and loving and kind in my behavior from this day forward. That is so different than when I was trying to work the steps that were on the wall. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Would anyone else like to share in this paragraph?
Sarah,
go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. Good morning, Vision, for you, all the newcomers, and all my friends. This is Sarah W. from Iowa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I would just say, you know, ditto on all these things, and I think the thing I have to remember is that when I do this step, I need to have good judgment and careful timing, as it says in the 12 and 12. In the ninth step, courage and prudence. And I think so many of us have been, been working on this level of self-will and riot. Just, you know, I know I can be a bulldozer just ramming my way through, you know, let's get it done yesterday. You know, I have no patience. And that's my history, you know, with my behaviors. So I really have to discern with God's help, with a person that I'm working with, that sponsors me to help me figure out how to go about this, because I don't want to create any more wreckage. And, you know, as other people said, you know, the greatest part of this whole paragraph to me is I finally find my purpose, you know. I can finally, you know, look people right in the eye, you know, get right-sized and realize that, you know, I have been afflicted with this disease for a reason. And now I have this beautiful purpose. You know, I had a sponsor that said to me, you know, I just don't know what my purpose is in life. And here it is. Here it is. And it's in the ninth step. It tells us that we finally are able to be of service to other people. And it's not only with OA people. It's not only with recovery people. We go out in the world and we try to be of maximum service to God and all people about us. And that is the gift of the whole program, my goodness. And I can, you know, get right with myself. I finally have a higher power that I don't feel afraid or alone anymore, ever. And I can have relationships with people. That doesn't mean things don't come up that I struggle with and defects come out. But my goodness, I actually get to live in this world and feel like, you know, I'm a caring human being, and that I am really doing my best to do that work, to be of maximum service to God and to other people. And as far as the last sentence, the last thing I'd like to say is that, you know, living amends, you know, especially with my family, my children, who I was very negligent with, and my children are 38 and 34, you know, and my parents were probably the hardest living amends I've had to make, because those are the people that I have faced the most, and those are the people that I have been the most, you know, utilized my defects with the most and been the most harmful to. But I know that my children and that my parents and my mother, who's now gone, recognized in me after I did my amends all the changes that I've made and I've continued to make, and I do continue to make, because I'm not done. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And it's now time for us to close the meeting. Thank you, everyone, who has shared and who has joined us today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jill T., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, Kathy. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.